Hello and welcome back to In and Out Kabaddi with me, Dan Strange, and Sahel Chanduk out there in India. Sahel, it's been another busy old week. The league has returned to your current home city, not your original home city. How's everything been this week?
Yeah, it's been really good. It's good to come back to the city of dreams in some sense, Mumbai. It's where a lot of the dreams began for all these guys in the world of Vivo Pro Kabaddi. It started way back in 2014. I remember being there on day one, and to see the game come alive and grow to where it is today, it's quite amazing, you know. So it actually started with the same game that we had a couple of nights ago, which was Mumbai versus Jaipur at the same dome at the NSCI. And so it was a very, very nice sort of backtracking to the old memories, especially given that there was a little bit of extra rivalry involved, given that Anup Kumar was actually playing for the rivals this time in Jaipur Pink Panther colours.
I knew you'd bring that game up very early. It's typical of you. We'll go into that later. Anyway, in Group A at the moment...
Have you got your pink shirt on then?
I haven't got any shirt on, so hell, you can keep that image in your mind. Anyway, so Group A, you remember, are going along very well. They got three games in hand over Pune now, having had a very good week, but the Fortune Giants have two in hand on them. So it's looking very interesting. JPP are still the sleeping giants, and December is going to be the comeback of the decade, the century, whatever you want to say. and Delhi, after three losses, they got a win, and they're still in a reasonable position. So really, Group A, if we sort of look at it generically, it's in bar JPP, who are, as I say, having a little bit of a shocker. It's incredibly open still, although for you, Mumbai and Gujarat, superb stuff.
Yeah, I think for me, actually, when you read into that a little bit more in detail, you, Mumbai and Gujarat are the top two teams. You know, it was a top of the table clash yesterday. And I said yesterday on Twitter, actually, that it was a privilege to have been in the commentary box for yesterday's clash. I think it was the best game or one of the top three games of Kabaddi I've ever commentated on last night between U Mumbai and the Gujarat Fortune Giants. Just unbelievable quality of Kabaddi, incredible ability of raiders and defenders to perform under pressure when literally the game was hanging in the balance. But just the way the game ebbed and flowed and changed hands was very, very special to be a part of.
And of course, it finished 38-36 to the Fortune Giants. Why? For someone who didn't watch the game, because there are a lot of people around the world who may not have access sort of to the pictures, why was it such an impressive game? What was so special about it?
So you've got perhaps the two best sides in terms of a complete picture in the league this year, in some sense, with Gujarat Fortune Giants and U Mumbai. Gujarat, a very different team to U Mumbai. The Gujarat is built around young, fearless raiders and defenders who just play as a unit, no superstar quotient. Then you've got U Mumbai that's built around a young superstar in Siddharth Desai, but also the likes of Fazal Atrachali and Dharmaraj Cherlathan, some old war horses. But why it was so special last night's game was because the lead changed hands so many times, but not being on a 1-point, 2-point deficit. It was sort of a 5-point deficit that was erased and then came back the other way, then turned back. But then there was one raid, Mahendra Ganesh Rajput, that was 7 points. He took out five defenders of U Mumbai and took the two for the all out. And that was a 7-point raid that tilted the balance in favor of Gujarat with about 4 minutes to play or 3.5 minutes to play. And then what happened after that was even more unreal. It was a frantic passage of play where U Mumbai for about 2.5 minutes played with the balk line as the bonus line. And it was two or three successful tackles from a team where basically, if a raider just lies down from where he is to the midline, the guy the size of Mahendra Rajput will reach the midline. And to actually keep raiders down when you're defending on the balk line is quite a staggering achievement. So incredible from Gujarat, just as special from U Mumbai. And it was a shame that one team had to come away as the winners or one team had to come away as the losers yesterday. But it really was an unbelievable game of Kabaddi right down to the last second.
It sounds amazing. And just before we sort of look through them and by leg, and of course the UP leg just before it, let's have an overall look at B as well. Bulls, 7 matches and they're top, which really is amazingly quick for them to get to the top. They won, loss all season, 4 wins in a row. UP and Patna, well, they're match heavy and really probably sitting ducks in places 2 and 3. For Bengal and Telugu, Bengal, very important win the other day against Telugu. Both, though, are in good positions with home games to come, home legs to come.
Yeah, this leg, or rather this zone, is going to be really crucial because it's going to be very, very tight. Unlike in Zone A, where we've got a couple of runaway leaders in the pile, this one's really tight. You've got the likes of, as you said, Bengal and Telugu are going to be in the mix for sure. UP are a good enough side to bounce back at some stage. Then you've got, of course, the Patna Pirates, and you can't discount them. And they put in a stellar defensive performance yesterday versus Bengal Warriors. So they can't be written off because Pradeep Narwal is back in form. Defense is clicking. And then, of course, you've got some great sides up at the very top. So, you know, I think it's a really, really, really tight group, that one. So it's the harder group to call a winner on. But it boils down to those 4 teams. I think the Tamil Talaivas are pretty much out of the race. And that's the only team that's sort of away in the distance in some sense.
So, of course, UP have just had their home leg. If you look at both their points sort of conceded in each game, 35 and 38 respectively, not the greatest defensive season from them. But how did the UP leg go overall for the home team?
It wasn't great. It was the first team this season that came away with a home leg without a single win. They had 2 ties in their home leg and that was all that they had. So that was the 6 points from the 2 ties and then a couple of losses, which gave them, you know, a single point with the loss for when you lose by 7 or under. But for me, the runaway favourites in that zone is the Bengaluru Bulls. And that's a big surprise because no one actually expected the Bulls, given the lack of experienced defenders, to actually come so good. They've got a great raiding trio in Kashiling Arke, Rohit Kumar and Pawan Sharawat, who's been the breakaway star. But defensively, they've been just as organized. So that's been super impressive from the Bengaluru Bulls to bounce back the way they have this season and really take it to every opposition.
And nice to see, like you said, for them, we don't speak about them much. Nice to see them coming to the fore. Nice for the people of Bengaluru to actually have that to get behind, their team actually really delivering.
Yeah, fantastic to have a team that's doing well. Because also it's a city that understands sport. It's a city that loves their sport, Bangalore. So real, really good to see the team start to do well yet again. They were semi-finalists way back when Manjeet Chiller and Ajay Thakur were part of the team. But also the good thing for them is that they've got a new rising sensation. Pawan Sarawat, he's averaging close to about 12 or 13 points a game. He's leaping over defenders, jumping over the chain, diving under. And there's a lot of different skill sets we're seeing on display and sort of complements what Kashiling Adke and Rohit Kumar bring to the table. So that's wonderful to see. And then they've got that young cover combination of Mahinder and Ashish Sangwan. And it's really, really working as a very young unit under the coach as well.
You mentioned Kumar Sarawat. I was going to bring him up later, talking about super raids. It was super raid to someone who's sort of new to the game is when you raid and you score 3 or more points within a raid. He has, this season, 8 super raids. So 8 times he has scored 3 or more points within a raid. That is double what anyone else has done. That is just unbelievable statistics.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective, he's played only 6 games. Pradeep Narwal has 3 super raids in 11 games. And that tells you how good Pawan Sharawat has been with the multi-point raids. It's unbelievable the way he's found new escape routes through to the midline. So, yeah, as you said, it is an unreal stat and just a colossal set of numbers that he's putting together. So it's good to see new stars come to the fore. Siddharth Desai, Pawan Sharawat, a few others defensively as well. And that's what this league is all about. And that's what you want to see season after season, new young heroes.
Now, Sahel, I forgot at the start of the show to wish you personally a happy Diwali for this week. Obviously, it was Diwali, massive celebration time in India. Talk me through how Diwali is such a special time in India, but also how Kabaddi embraces Diwali and the holiday period and sort of really makes it shine.
Yeah, happy Diwali, Dan, and happy Diwali to all our listeners as well. Yeah, it's a really special time in India. It's a time full of light, as we say. You know, it's a celebration of light over darkness. You know, it's a celebration of all things positive. And when you sort of see the way the country functions through Diwali, you'll see that radiance right through the entire country. A lot of fireworks, a lot of smiles on people's faces, but just explosivity. And that's what we saw on the Kabaddi mat as well. Kabaddi moved, as we said, to Mumbai through Diwali, and it has taken off. The dome at the NSCI over the last couple of nights is more packed than I've ever seen it, and the noise is electrifying. So there's something special about this time of year where people also want to get out. They want to have a good time. They'll have a drink. They'll play some cards. That's what generally happens on Diwali. And, you know, it's a great time to sort of just get amongst family and friends and have a few cold ones. So the entire Kabaddi fraternity also take to it, but also put out a seriously good show in terms of the quality of Kabaddi that we've seen over the last few days.
Mumbai, of course, always such a buzzing place to be. Top players this week then. You mentioned Siddharth Desai earlier. He's continuing to, well, really boss it in the league. He's top on total points, top on raid points, outscoring the likes of Pardeep, who of course added one Super 10 this week to his total, Nitin Tomer, AJ Tacker. Those are some serious names to be outscoring.
Yeah, I think he's been superb. He actually took a couple of games off with a shoulder injury, but he's come back straight in with a Super 10. For me, a couple of actually young stars from that team were Abhishek Singh and Darshan Kadian for Mumbai. They did a stellar job. But also, I think a couple of stars for me were from the Gujarat setup. Not just Sachin, the raider, but the captain, Sunil Kumar and Parvesh Benswal, the two covers for that side. It's a very young captain. He, for me, has been one of the stars of the week, actually, one of the stars of the league so far. To lead a team that's so young and to lead it when he is as young as he is, he's done a terrific job and soaked up a lot of pressure, especially even last night to beat Mumbai at home as a young captain. Would have meant a lot to that man.
And of course, in defence, well, it takes a lot to out-tackle Faisal Attricali, and currently no one is. He's back up at the top of the pile on tackle points. Who else, though, in defence, bar the great Iranian, has stood out for you?
Well, there's a couple. I think Jetty, for me, from Patna, is starting to come alive at the right time for the Patna Pirates. As I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, Sunil Kumar for Gujarat and Parvesh Benswal, those two are combining quite nicely. But I think, yeah, Faisal Attricali, not just for the number of tackle points, but for the way he goes about them. I think that's why, for me, he's just out and out the best defender in the league. He pulls off outrageous tackles. Tackles that no one else would even think of approaching close to the midline. Techniques which no one else has seen before. And that's what, for me, makes him such a threat in this sport.
Now, I've held off this long without talking about it, but I suppose at some point we are going to have to talk about how Mumbai beat JPP 48-24. Mumbai
without Siddharth Desai.
Yes, okay. Without Siddharth Desai. So a weak Mumbai put double points on JPP. It was obviously a fantastic performance for Mumbai, but what is it helps them being at home because, like you said, it's a very passionate place to play Mumbai. There's a real electricity about it. Why is it so right at Mumbai at the moment, though?
Well, I think it's just the way the team has come together. I also want to talk about maybe what's going wrong with JPP.
That was my next question.
That's a big concern. Yeah, that is a big concern. I think we've spoken about Mumbai a fair bit. And we will talk about them because they're top of the group in Zone A. I can understand that. But what's going wrong with JPP? Because when you look at the team on paper, they're actually a really good side. I mean, personnel-wise, they've got some serious stars in that lineup. But again, it's just a lack of role definition. They've got too many guys who are thinking about doing too many things, and they've not actually been given a direct, clear diktat as to what they need to be doing. Nitin Rahul came in one game as a pure raider and was excellent, and then instantly was shifted back into the left corner as a defender. Deepak Nevas-Hooda was a left cover where, again, if he's there as your lead raider, then he shouldn't be there in your left cover position. He was brought in as a lead raider the next game and then changed back. It's just a couple of changes like this that keep going through, and therefore you've not found a settled starting seven. But when your starting seven has come good, or when the seven actually finished a game well, you've again changed it and gone back to what didn't work earlier. So I'm just questioning what's going on a little bit with the management at JPP, even though they've got a very good coach in Srinivas Reddy. So I just don't know what's going on. I don't know if Anup is the one that's calling a few shots, and therefore there's two big voices in the team. I'm not so sure, but something needs to change.
I mean, we spoke about last week how players need to be sort of complete players now, and you know, the change of the game to having much more all-round play. You said there that they seem unsettled because they're being asked to act in an all-round way. Is it almost that coaches might be looking at that and going, right, everyone needs to be an all-rounder, everyone needs to be playing, you know, both in attack and in defence as well, raiding and defending. But actually, if the players aren't ready for it, or they haven't been coached properly to be ready for it, that you're almost better off sticking to the more old traditional format than trying to be too modern. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think there's a lot of advancements in the game. Let's be honest. I think coaches are more proactive. Teams are looking at more video analysis. So there is a temptation to keep making changes and chopping and changing things on the go, right? Making a quick change to try and influence the course of the game. But as you said, sometimes you just want to go back to what works. And I think when it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if something is starting to get fixed, then don't go back to the old, you know. So it's a couple of things that I think just need to be addressed pretty quickly for Jaipur, but also a lot of the other teams can sort of open the book of the Gujarat Fortune Giants, U Mumbai, even Telugu Titans this season, or the Puneri Paltan, and look at how you just manage people, you know, manage personnel, manage your players, and make sure you get the best out of them at times.
So Bengal this week, we mentioned a very, very useful win for them against Telugu. They also lost to Patna 50-30, which was a bit of an unusual result there. But for them coming up, because we're about to go into an interzone challenge week, that'll spice things up, obviously. And one of the matches that really stood out for me in the interzone challenge week, Gujarat Fortune Giants against the Bengal Warriors. It's an important time for Gujarat, but it's a very important time for Bengal as well after that win against Telugu.
Yeah, it really is. Bengal Warriors actually look a really good side. Surjit has been superb. The trouble is that they don't have depth of raiders. You know, I think that's the only thing that's hurting them. It's only Maninder. That's it. Jankunli is struggling a little bit. He's become a little one-dimensional for me, where he's sitting in that right side of the defence. And therefore, they're having a bit of a problem with actually breaking the opposition defence, because it's only Maninder that's providing points as a raider. The defences are unbelievably organised, but it's not going to win you entire game. You still need your raiders to pitch in, and they're going to give you the multiple raid points. So somewhere they have to address where the second raider option is going to come from.
And of course, the Bulls against the Fortune Giants. We've mentioned the Fortune Giants twice there, but they are one of the informed teams in the league overall. Bengaluru Bulls firing in Group B, Fortune Giants firing in Group A. That really is a tasty encounter to come.
Oh, it'll be great to watch a few of these encounters that are coming in the interzone challenges and the wildcard games. They're going to be great to watch later. We had the wildcard draw as well a couple of nights ago, and some stellar encounters as a result of it. So I think we're going to be looking forward to some big, big matches over the next couple of weeks. And obviously the next few days in Mumbai, plenty of action still to come. Super Sunday is a big one, and the crowds pour in on Sunday, and then you've got, of course, the weekday games as well. And there's just a lot of quality on display, and therefore you'd see plenty of support coming in, only because of the team that's doing well. They're sitting top of the zone, and therefore it attracts a big crowd as well. And you'd see that in every franchise, in every city. When the team's doing well, obviously everyone wants to get amongst it and support the boys as well. So that's good to see.
So Sahel, you mentioned the wildcard draw there. Now, there are complexities to sort of the structure of the league, as there are in any league in the world, whatever sport, whatever league. The in and out of this week is going to be, and this is a tough one, you're going to cram it into 30 seconds. You're not, because you never do, but you know, you're going to get close to the in and out of the structure of the Pro Kabaddi League.
Okay, so I'll tell you when my 30 seconds start. But it's a great one, actually, Dan. Well thought of, because if, for people who are listening in for the first time, new viewers and new listeners, it is a new league with a different format ever since the four new teams arrived last season. So here we go. Our in and out of Kabaddi is the Kabaddi format, or the structure of the entire league. my 30 seconds begins now. Okay, so we have six teams in each group, and each plays each other in the group three times. So that's five teams apart from yourself. So that's 3 × 5, 15. So you play 15 games there. Then you play a set of interzone challenge matches against the opposition group. So Zone A plays teams from Zone B. Zone B plays teams from Zone A. So that's six more matches. And that totals 21. Then we have one final wild card draw, which is what Dan was mentioning. And that, therefore, is a draw of lots between Zone A and Zone B. And it tallies, therefore, to 22 matches overall. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the structure of the league. And that's under 30 seconds, Dan Strange.
It was 37, but I was really impressed. That was for you. But I had my money on like 2 minutes 30 there, and you got it into 37. That's pretty impressive. Sahel, that I think that was your best in and out of yet, to be fair. Partly based on time, partly based on the amount of information you actually got in. Well, the season really is getting exciting now. We'll be back next weekend again with all the sort of review of this week and the preview of next week. Of course, the Interzone Challenge is coming up. Make sure you listen to us. We're on Audio Boom, who are our partners. We're on iTunes. There are other platforms coming very, very soon as well. Keep in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram at In and Out Kabaddi or at Sahel Chanduk at Dan Strange TV. Those are our Twitter and Instagram handles. Sahel, hope you have a fantastic week. We will catch up again for another discussion next weekend.
Thank you, Mr. Outsider. Have a good one. Enjoy your week, and we'll touch base soon enough.